Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Hi, everybody. Green Diva Mizar here.
Hello, Green Divas. This is Green Dude Eco Ed Schwartz. Glad to be here.
All pieced out on the end of his Hawaiian trip.
Well,
he's back.
You know what? It was a 5-day trip, right? So you're nice and tan, but you're exhausted.
Yes, it was a long flight, but it was wonderful. Yeah. Hawaii is always wonderful.
Well, anyway, just for those who want to know, you're listening to Homegrown Radio NJ.org, Homegrown Radio right here in Boonton, New Jersey.
There you go.
Because I had to cut off the ID. There wasn't enough time. So I want to make sure I get that in there. So you know what you're listening to. And you're listening to the Green Divas Radio Show.
That's called CYA.
Yeah, well, you know, seems fair.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, it's nice to have a full house. Green Dude Rob Capel is here, our audio Green Dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Green Diva Gina, our associate producer.
Wow. And, it's all good. We have a full house.
We have Gracie, the farting dog.
Oh, jeez.
I know. Here we are.
I don't like that word. We had to turn on the fan, the ceiling fan. It was so bad.
Gracie, the fluffing dog.
We call it poofering in our house.
Poofering
pooch. The poofering pooch.
Somebody's, making a rose. Anyway, whatever you want to call it.
Floating air.
She's
biscuits.
On some medication after having, taken the dive off the deck.
Oh, correct.
And I think this medication, it's like, whoa, man. So here we are confined in the studio and you're all kind of stuck with me.
Well,
and the dog.
Well, see, if you say stuck with me, it implies that somebody else was floating those biscuits. Yeah. So don't say that.
No, no. But the dog comes with me wherever I go,
That's
as
right.
you know.
She does.
Yeah. But we're working with a new trainer. And I want to tell you, I found this trainer. His name's John McWilliams. I said, well, you must be a distant cousin. You must be okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came over today and we had a good time.
Okay. Yeah. Did Gracie have a good time?
She did.
Good.
She did. So I want to mention that we have a new old sponsor.
Yay.
One of our old sponsors has come back in a new form to us, but same old form to them, and that's buygreen.com.
Nice.
And I don't know if you know much about BuyGreen, but for those of you that don't, they are your trusted source for green products. And what I like about them personally is that they have a green product standard, and it's very stringent and it's very transparent. Mm-hmm. They have a rating
mm-hmm.
system.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty clear rating system that I like because some of them are confusing and convoluted.
Yes.
This one I really like, and they have a really good selection of products that you can feel good about. For instance, go ahead, Ed.
Oh, so it's not like Monsanto trying to block the government from reporting those standards.
Right, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. So like some things inherently just don't get a high rating because of what they are, but they're still there and they tell you what they're about.
Well, and this opens the door for this comment that sponsoring here at the Green Divas Radio Show is not expensive at all.
No, we're
so
a cheap date for great exposure.
Oh, my gosh. We have 45 million unique visitors.
Well, we don't.
We don't. But the sites that we are syndicated on,
yeah.
45 million. I mean, we're talking worldwide. And maybe if you're just trying to reach Podunk, Idaho, you can get them, too, or whatever the case is.
Well, the thing is they're relevant because these are all of our online media partners are people, and they reach out to people who are interested in green, natural, healthy living.
Right. So I encourage all of you green folks out there that have a product to really get in touch with Meg via Facebook or meg@thegreendivas.com.
Megan, yeah.
Megan. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Megan@thegreendivas.com. Because really, sponsorship is just not expensive, and it'll get you a lot of hits. We get a lot of hits on our posts every week.
Yeah, and whenever we do product reviews, people really respond. And we get people that say, oh my gosh, we had an overwhelming response to that one small mention or whatever.
Right, exactly.
So I'm amazed how many people come up to me and say, hey, you know what, we heard about this on the show, and they've tried this product or what have you.
Do you want to hear the coolest thing? I had a girl email me from Jacksonville, Florida. Okay.
Oh, I love this.
I saw an article came my way via Care2, and I saw that it was authored by Green Diva Mizar. And she said, you know, is that a nickname? Is that a nom de art? Is that, you know, my name is Mizar too. Is it the same name?
Really?
I was named after a star. I sent you this story.
I know, but I didn't see that she said her name was Mizar.
No, no, no. Her name is Mizar.
Okay, good.
I was named after a star. I know about the band and the mathematical, scientific, whatever. And I know that blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, yes, it is the same name. And I, too, was named after a star. And I tell people that, of course, my parents weren't smoking anything. But whatever. So in Jacksonville, Florida.
There you go.
She saw my name on a post, contacted me directly, and now we're friends on Facebook, of course. I'm friends with every Mizar on Facebook. There aren't that many of us.
Yeah.
Six now, I think. But cool. So this is just a message to our sponsors,
well, and I
or
get
potential
back
sponsors.
To buygreen.com, because we did some those green lights that you've heard. We did those in the past, and we do need to make some new ones. And I've been playing those. You know, they're a little old, but I play them anyway because they're good. They're informative. And they like what we've done. They like what their response is. So they're back with us. Buygreen.com. And like what I would say today, we're going to talk a lot about getting rid of plastic in our world and starting to think about reusable water bottles,
mm-hmm.
stainless steel and glass, and also reusable shopping bags and totes.
Right.
So Buy Green has a really good selection of reasonably priced, and you can see how they're rated. How are they made? Are they made from sustainable materials? Are they made from recyclable materials? What is their, you know, are they recyclable
really
at the end?
They really take it apart then.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
Good, good.
Do.
So, all right, good. So we'd like to hear from all of you folks out there.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about having them back on.
Yeah, board. Thank you, buygreen.com.
Thank
we love
you,
welcome
Doug.
Back.
And then coming up today, I did mention we're going to talk to Green Diva correspondent Julie Hensher. Hensher. Let me try again. Green Diva correspondent Julie Hensher,
mm-hmm.
who's in Philadelphia. She publishes the Green Philly blog. And she is working to help ban plastic bags from Philadelphia. And I wanted to talk to her. She's just in the beginning of the process, I think. You know, they haven't done it, but she and I want to hear from her periodically. This was our first time talking to her about the process so that
right.
other cities and people in other communities can learn what can they do to start the process of banning plastic bags.
I think there are Toronto did
yeah.
it for a while.
Oh yeah. San Francisco.
And what happened with Toronto, only because I travel there back and forth.
That's right.
They were starting to charge folks 5 cents or whatever it was a
yep,
bag.
That's one way to do it.
Cents.
Yep. Yeah, but then they dropped it.
Yeah.
This one grocery store said, nah, we're not charging anymore,
just
whatever.
Get rid of them.
I know that there is a chain of independent ShopRite will ShopRite here in the
mm-hmm.
New York tri-state area. I don't know how far their reach is, but they will credit you money.
Well, King's does that.
Many
yeah.
will.
4 cents a
many
bag.
Will.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, just use like, you know, 10 bags.
Exactly.
I said 40 cents.
Exactly. Exactly.
Pays for the bags. Same thing as Starbucks. If you use the reusable mugs, and they'll credit you, I think, 10 cents per cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Per
I just think we need a bigger push. I think what Julie's going to do is going to be great, is great, actually. And I think we just need greater awareness and a greater push because I just don't think people know that much about it.
So I want to hear about her experience.
Yeah,
with, you
it'll
know,
be great.
See if we
it'll
can learn
great.
From that, right?
Yeah.
And then GD Mizar, you are going to do your DIY thing on a plastic rant, but you're going to talk about some plastic upcycling products.
Well, yeah, I did rant.
If we're going to have it, you know,
well,
I mean, might as well reuse it.
I know. And it was hard because the rant, and I had to temper my enthusiasm to continue the rant. Because I was raving, ranting. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. And then as long as it's here, the plastic bags.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them here than floating in the Pacific Ocean
yeah.
or in India or.
Make use of them.
There are a lot of things that you can do with them. So we'll talk a little bit about
that. Oh, good. I think that's a great idea.
And I'm going to go over specifically some of the reasons why these plastic products are bad. Besides,
okay.
you know, breaking down slowly and polluting the atmosphere, we're going to go over some of the more specific issues of how.
I know. It's
I feel another rant coming on.
So that's going to be Green Dude EcoEd's Green Dude Report. And then our feature interview today is Ed Brown, the filmmaker and producer of Unacceptable Levels, a film that is making its way out now. And is it? I think it's at Sundance, or was it at Sundance?
I don't know, but Marielle Hemingway was very much behind it, and
well, I know
her with Sundance.
She's going to be at. They're having an opening in L.A. in a week or so. And I know that she's going to be involved with that. And
oh, so it's going to open in L.A.
Yeah.
And we told Ed we wanted to be there for the New York opening.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Okay. We'll remind him at the end of the show.
Yeah, we want to be there. So anyway, we have a lot. And he'll talk in that that film is all about. And I watched the whole thing today.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've seen pieces of it. But I sat and watched the whole thing today.
Right.
And it's an excellent film. A little bit scary. And there were things that I didn't know, even though, you know, I knew bits and pieces. But wow.
You know, sometimes knowledge is knowledge is always power. But knowledge is also scary.
It can be.
It can be.
But at the end, he wraps it up and gives us, you know, ways that we as individuals can make a difference.
Right. Didn't he have issues with his children, with his wife and the children?
Yeah. Throughout the film, he uses his wife and children between each segment to sort of bring it back to, you know, this is our lives. This is what we're doing. And to illustrate the next, you know, whether it's food or whether it's toys.
My kids had wooden toys. I at one point banned my parents my parents mostly, but they were actually pretty traditional anyway. But I said, no more plastic toys. And especially, I don't want to see another toy with a battery in it.
Oh, God.
I was really pretty.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, and when my kids.
I wasn't a mean mom, I swear to God.
When my kids were, the older ones were young, we lived up in the Berkshires, and they had gone to a Steiner school, which is one of those Waldorf schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you were not allowed to have. I mean, really, if you had anything plastic, you know, if a kid came to school with a plastic toy, you were like banned. You were like shunned.
Shunned. Oh, my God. What a bad mother. Plastic. Ooh.
Oh, it was a little, actually, and I appreciated the philosophies, but it was so judgmental and rigid that it didn't work for me.
Make it unpleasant. Yeah. You know what? Green, as we do it here, it should be stress-free, right?
Exactly.
So absolutely, positively. Not the way to do it, because it just, you're reinforcing the negative,
right,
and that's not a good
thing. So it's not that I don't appreciate all that, but.
And you hit a perfect point, Mizar, because with a lot of these issues, when you hear about them or when you learn more, you start getting this feeling of helplessness, because a lot of these things are run by governments or big corporations.
You're overwhelmed.
Yeah, so a lot of what we can do is bring it down to a practical level, and how can we impact our lives, or what can we as individuals or consumers do that can make things better for us, for our families, for the environment or community?
Yeah, you know, some people, my kids, I'm so green they think I'm nuts. But I said, you know what? If you take one third of what I do away with you, I'll be happy. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
You know, next week, Megan, I may go back to the garden for my post because I was out there a lot.
Yeah, me too. This week.
I now have. I'm getting so off subject here, but I think you'll like the subject though. I now have. A worm farm.
Oh, well, yeah.
In your under your compost
heap? No, it's right near my garden area because I have a gutter that comes down. And I let the water, I don't get it in a rain barrel because it's right there by the garden. I will direct it sometimes, but I don't really need to. So right where the water comes out, there's like a lot of silt. And I put some stones in there and more silt. I'm telling you, the worms are pooping like crazy.
Happy worms.
Happy worms make for a happy garden, and a happy garden makes for a happy green diva.
I had to do some serious digging because a good friend brought over some beautiful advanced perennials for me to transplant.
Oh, nice.
And I had to dig out, and my big rocks. I actually took a picture of some of the stuff that came out of the garden.
I took a picture of the worms.
And the worms and the happy. I was like, I love my worms. And who thought that I would be like delicately picking up a worm and moving it while I'm digging in to try to get the rocks out?
Can I tell you what I used to do with my kids? We used to live in a big old house in Maplewood, and there was privets going down one side, and it was on the driveway side, so all the water runoff would run under these privets. And after it rained, I would give Antares, my daughter, Rigel, my son, and our neighbor Kim buckets. Okay, kids, let's go worm farming. And boy, we sure did. They filled up picking up the worms, putting them in the bucket. I said, pick up the brown stuff too, you know. And so we would have buckets of worms. And we are now talking, well, how many years ago? 17 years ago. My daughter was about 5 or 6. And we would go worm farming, and we'd take those worms. And we walk them over to the tomatoes. Your tomatoes are doing very well, the ones you gave me last week.
But
Thank you.
I'm having issues because those pots, which are tomato growing, I mean, they're specifically designed for tomatoes.
Mm.
they're like the it's moist and it's almost getting moldy on top and it's not draining well. And I, you know, there's drainage. Yeah.
Do you have something like, are they sitting right on the patio?
Yeah.
Why don't you put two
just lift pieces them up. Of you're wood. Right. Yeah.
Because your patio Thank has you. Got the tar roof
you got
on it.
It. You got it. That's what it is.
That's
because
all
the,
you have
most
to
of those
do.
Things you're supposed to buy the wheels to go underneath, and I was right. cheap and I didn't buy the wheels.
No, just get two pieces of scrap wood.
Okay, I think Julie's on the line, so let's get her on the line. Julie?
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for calling today. I'm so excited to hear about your
initiative
adventure. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Now, before we launch into that, why don't you just tell us real quick about the Green Philly blog?
Sure. Well, an ex-coworker and myself started Green Philly blog in 2008, which I'm not sure how familiar you are with Philadelphia and all this good stuff happening in the government. But Mayor Nutter actually came on board and started a sustainability plan called GreenWorks Philadelphia to make Philadelphia the greenest city by 2015.
Ooh, that's great. Nice.
Yeah, so it was perfect timing for us, and we've just been covering a lot of environmental events and really ways for people to go green in an easy fashion for the past few years.
Excellent.
Well, okay. That's how we like it around here, stress-free green.
Well, Green Diva Lisa used to live in Philadelphia, so she always raves about, and she's connected to a lot of folks that are doing wonderful
right.
green projects and sustainable projects down
there. All right, so, Julie, I can't, this seems like such a silly question, but you're doing this green stuff. What inspired you, apart from the fact that plastic is insidious and plastic bags is among one of the most, in my opinion, when did you say, okay, I'm going to take on the city of Philadelphia and I'm going to have them ban plastic bags?
Well, just a slight correction. We're actually trying to implement a fee. We changed our course, but...
Okay. That's okay. Where it's a good starting point.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, basically what happened, and I was going to say, I think Philadelphia is a little bit more conservative, unfortunately, when it comes to green legislation. So I think the inspiration really just started when, you know, we actually, right after we started the blog in 2009, a 25-cent single-use bag fee went up into city council, and it got mm-hmm. shut down 10-6 by lobbyists, pretty much. I mean, it got shut down by city council, but it was because of lobbyists
well,
and their constant arguments.
Of course.
which is very typical, unfortunately. And I think it was just one of those things. I saw all these cities and countries passing the legislation and really making a difference. And I thought, if Philadelphia has done this and, you know, tried doing this actually twice now and they haven't done it, why don't we just bring it back up?
Good
and
for
I think
you.
Part of it,
yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And I was going to say, I think, honestly, part of it's just to, you know, make a positive change in the city and do something that, you know, I'm passionate about, and I hope that we can help other people in the community overall.
So when is it coming up for a vote again?
So we actually are trying to get one of the city council members to currently introduce legislation.
Okay, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't think it will probably be introduced until the fall. But at the same point, we really want to gather community support and, you know, start talking about it again and help the public definitely understand why it's important and it's not just something that, you know, we're doing to hurt the dog owners or someone else, but to make a better change for Philadelphia, and especially, I'm sure everyone knows how disgustingly littered Philadelphia is overall.
Well, what are you telling dog owners? Because that's the one thing, you know, they're being told to pick up the poop, mm-hmm. and a lot of municipalities supply the little doggy poop bags just at the top of the trail or wherever it is there is a dog area. So what do you tell people who have to pick up poop?
Well, that's actually part of the reason why we're, you know, we want to give people the choice to whether they want to purchase the plastic bags or not. That's the first part, because if you have a ban, then obviously they're not in it's not even a possibility to buy plastic. But people are paying for them regardless because the retailers embed those costs within their
right.
products.
Right.
So it's basically giving people a choice. Do you want to bring your own bag or do you want a plastic bag and just pay for it up front? And the second piece of that is, even though, you know, we want to put a fee on the plastic bags, you know, the carry-out T-shirt bags, as I refer to, if you still look at any of the products you buy, the produce, you know, bread bags. There's so much plastic in our lives. You really don't need to.
Right. Those are double plastic bags, too, when you think about it, because the sliced bread comes in a plastic.
Yeah, it's wrapped plastic tightly, inside
and
plastic.
And then it's plastic inside plastic.
People typically think of plastic as just like when you carry out, when you buy your groceries and things like that, but they don't realize how much this plastic film has become an integral part of what we do every day.
Oh, every day. Every day.
Well, aren't there plastic bags that are made from some kind of bioplastic or something that is made from recycled?
There is. It's actually a little bit tricky because I don't think they decompose in a typical way. And if you're putting them in the trash can, Philadelphia's landfill is not meant to decompose. It just basically sits there. So you're still having plastic that either the city has to incinerate or just put in a landfill that's just going to sit there for an indefinite amount of time.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know. That's it. Basically, that's, you know, I was going to say, I think, you know, really the goal is to reduce our overall use as a city and not just, you know, try to see how many we can either recycle again or just put it in the landfill. So.
And so the next, do you know what the legislation's going to look like and be calling on? Is it still going to be 25 cents per bag, do you think?
We do not know because that would have to go through city council.
Okay.
But the thing that we would like to see is something like a 6-month introductory period where, you know, people, you know, stores will just tell consumers this is going to happen.
Right.
Here are the ways you can buy reusable bags and have dries and give those to people who need them.
Yep.
So that'd be step one. And then the next phase would be a 5-cent fee, you know, for a year or so, and then potentially have it go up to 10 or 15 cents after a couple of years. But I mean, that's obviously completely up to city council. And if they have a fee overall, I believe the 5-cent fee reduces bag use by 80%. So that's honestly our goal, just to see a drop in plastic bag usage.
Are you following any other legislation that has already taken place elsewhere, San Francisco or Toronto? Are you looking at that for inspiration at all?
Yes. Actually, Montgomery County, Maryland has a very great program, and they're similar that they're an East Coast city that's, or county, I should say, that's larger than D.C. And they basically took D.C.'s legislation that passed, I believe, in 2010 and improved upon that. So, you know, we definitely are looking at, you know, what's working and trying to implement that in our own city.
Okay, so it's moving up the mid-Atlantic coast, and pretty soon in Jersey we'll start getting these. We'll get it, right?
I thought it was supposed to go up to and vote in Jersey. Has that happened? Or?
Yeah, I believe it is. Is it statewide? I have no idea.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I felt that fell off my radar, unfortunately. But there's so much to keep up with the
Well, you think
bag.
We'd know, but we don't.
Yeah, well, we were talking before you called in about how many supermarkets are, and even Starbucks, are crediting you money, taking, I guess, 5 cents off of your receipt.
For every bag.
For every bag that you do not use, which is a nice way of doing it,
too. For Starbucks, for reusable cups, is 10 cents, I believe.
Well, because so often it seems to me that it's an economic, you know, people don't make a change unless they feel it economically.
It's
got to
hurt in the pocketbook. Exactly right.
It's the incentive.
Yeah.
And in Europe, it's been commonplace for decades now for people to go shopping for groceries and carry their own mesh
bag.
Can
you see how many times I shot? How many times I've been to Europe? I mean, I don't mean to sound like a real diva,
but it's commonplace.
No, they do.
It's
not anymore.
You're the jet setting diva.
Not anymore.
Really?
No, in the last decade. No, not anymore. And things are changing over there, not necessarily for the better either.
I appreciate your calling and telling us about, you know, getting this thing started and being part of it. And if you don't mind, we'll have you call back as things progress in the fall, if the legislation is getting ready and you want to give us a call again, and we'll talk about it.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me today. And, you know, I'd love to keep you updated. So
please
thanks
do.
Again.
Thank you,
right.
Julie.
Yeah,
thanks.
You know what? You can go to our Facebook page and put a comment in there, too, if you'd like.
Yes.
It's Green Divas Radio Show.
Well, and
Facebook.
I think Julie's going to do a post for us,
yay!
A guest post. So
very
she'll keep
nice.
Us posted on the
right,
website.
Julie.
Bye, Julie.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So that's Green Philly Blog for anybody who wants to check in there. She has a lot of information there about what they're doing. And I just thought we could all learn a little bit about, you know. You know?
Well, listen, it just takes one person to get things started. My dad always said the longest journey starts with the first small step. A lot of people say that, and I don't know where it comes from, but it's a very tried and true.
Was your dad who said that?
Well, no, he used to say that to us when we were undertaking something, but I don't know where he got it. Some, I mean, philosophers have been saying that. I don't know, Confucius, Gibran, I have no idea.
Yeah, a lot of, they probably all said it in many different ways.
Exactly,
you know
right.
What I mean?
Like, and in many different languages. Exactly right.
No original idea. Just keeps getting recycled.
Ooh, woo-hoo. Hey, we're all about that.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Green Dude Ed a little bit more about why we should be concerned about plastic. And then Green Diva Mizar is going to do a little what to do with the plastic we have.
Can I rant first?
You can rant first. And then we'll have Ed Brown on from Unacceptable Levels, which is a film I think everyone should see. Stay tuned. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenade makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds, and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenade.co.
Hi, I'm Mariel Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas Radio, and you're loving your life.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas Radio Show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
All right, it's great to be here today.
Yeah. Well, welcome home.
Ta-da.
Welcome
well,
home
that's
from
not
Hannah.
So great because it was wonderful being there. I spent some time with some important folks, including the mayor.
No, just tell folks you were in Hawaii.
Yes, was in Hawaii, and I was working with the mayor of Maui specifically and some other folks in the tourism industry because we're working with them on making their local tourism industry more sustainable.
Nice.
Because the people go to Hawaii because of the beautiful, the magical landscapes.
The flora and the fauna.
The flora, the fauna, the ocean, the land, the forest. And so we're back here in Jersey, and we're talking about plastics today.
Yes.
Now, plastics were introduced, you know, many, many years ago as a miracle material. And plastics have very many qualities that make them a very desirable material for so many reasons.
Sure. Well, I mean, look in the studio. It's like, you know, we wouldn't be having a show if it weren't for plastic.
Exactly.
So many things are manufactured from it. But one of the key things we're going to talk about is, you know, the bad things about certain types of plastics and specifically some of the chemicals in them that can break down and really get into our bodies. And that's going to be elaborated on a little more with Ed Brown later.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, there's a couple things I want to talk about today. There's biphenyl A, BPAs, and phthalates.
Yeah, nasty little buggers.
Yep, and these are chemicals. Well, plastic is inherently a petroleum product.
It is, yeah.
Yep.
So if you take a look at a water bottle, a PET water bottle, if you fill that up about a third of the way, that's how much oil it takes to make that plastic bottle.
Yep, that's exactly right. And in America, a couple years ago, you could fuel 100,000 cars.
Didn't I illustrate that on Fox? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Didn't I do that?
Yeah, you did.
Put a little Coke in there or balsamic vinegar
and
make it look like oil.
With all the petroleum that we use, we can fuel 100,000 cars or something like that in America for a year.
From plastic. Yeah.
And especially since they're so disposable, and most of them don't make it back to recycling.
It's one in five.
One in five.
I'm starting the rant.
Okay. Keep off the rant. And so one of the other issues is when they have these chemicals in them that are that when they break down, these chemicals get leached out. Specifically, what people don't realize is these chemicals are in a lot of our products that we eat for storing food.
Yeah.
And even when you have a container that you put in the freezer or refrigerator or in the microwave, even if it says microwavable, if it's plastic, it still leaches out these chemicals into what we eat.
I don't have a microwave for that reason.
I haven't used my microwave I just very rarely use it. But I understand that... tomatoes also, like certain products that might have high acidity also can mm-hmm. draw out the chemicals?
I think one of the worst offenders are the plastic shower curtain liners.
Shower plastic curtain liners they're running subject because those contain phthalates.
And they outgas.
When you open up the container, you ever notice that smell and you have to air them out before you use them?
Yes.
That's all the bad stuff that you're breathing in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So biphenyls, they have endocrine disruptors, which mimics estrogen, so it really messes with your hormones. Actually, phthalates do also. And these are typically the least, the part of the product of the plastic that is the least stable. So when the plastics do break down, which they take generations to, but the first things to break out are these phthalates and biphenylase. So what are they in? They are in, well, phthalates are in some outer coatings of pharmaceuticals, the tablets.
They hold the talc. The talc is the base, the filler, the binder, and then they have the plastic, which coats the tablets.
What a bummer.
BPAs did used to be in baby bottles.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that because 96% of women test positive for having BPAs in their system.
And babies are being born with it in their system.
Already in their system.
Umbilical cords are being tested, mm-hmm. and the BPA is already there.
Yep. And they're in food packaging, lubricants, modeling clay that kids play with.
Really?
The phthalates, the plasticizers that make it malleable. Waxes, paints, inks. Now, here's something that's interesting. We'll probably talk about this on a future program.
Uh-oh, I think I know where this is going.
Sex toys.
Wow, that's really sad.
But think about it. They sex toys and they leach out these chemicals and not where you want them to be leached out.
We should ask Michael Douglas about that,
don't you think? Oh, my goodness.
Can he be one of the green? I'd be happy to step aside for one of those shows so he could be the green dude for the segment.
Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Listen, everybody had fun with it. We might as well.
So can we do that, Meg? Can we do a segment on organic or green sex toys one of these days?
They're out there.
I've been getting a lot of press releases and there's been a lot of, there's a company.
Do something close to that?
We did. Valentine's Day,
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
My God.
Oh, my word.
So in the interim, to wrap it up, one of the things that we want to talk about is using other things besides plastics, bringing your reusable bags. I've got one here in the studio today.
May I read it?
Oh, that one is.
Can I read it?
Yeah. Sure.
It's a canvas bag, and there's a little Asian girl looking at a she looks like a preppy co-ed, if you ask me.
She's like a little mad girl.
Yeah, the little, and it says angry little girl.
Angry little girl is the tagline.
That's the tagline.
Okay, that's it.
All right. So it says, shop with a reusable bag, bitch.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
It is cute.
So the things that we can all do are use different types of bags instead of plastic. Bring your canvas bags. Bring your hemp bags even.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever works, man.
Or the mesh bags that they use in Europe. But, those are made out of plastic.
And buy reusable sex toys? I don't know. No, just kidding.
We'll talk about that. You got to draw the line there.
Kidding. I know, right?
The reusable bottles, the ones that are made of glass
Stainless steel.
Stainless steel.
Yeah.
And there's other materials we can use. Again, you're not going to banish plastic from your lives, but there are a lot of alternatives
to
minimizing them.
Yeah.
I'm going through this big issue with Mrs. EcoEd right now because we have my son's graduation party coming up. So we're trying to stay away from plastics with all the disposables.
Good for you.
I'll end it on that note.
Oh, listen, borrow China. I will let you borrow all the flatware that I have bought at garage sales. It's mix and match, but it works. You can borrow all the plates that I have because
there are some that are made that are not made from petroleum products that are biodegradable.
That's the compromise we're going with.
They're more expensive.
She doesn't want us to
use
the IKEA one, the glass ones, because it's going to be some people outside. Yeah.
Listen, I had 100 people for my father's 80th birthday and I didn't have any plastic.
Nice. Very nice. I love it.
All right, kids. Now we're going to do some DIY. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
This was a tough one for me this week, Megan. You know, I like to stay within the theme of the show when I repurpose because it's fun and you produce it that way.
Well, it works.
It works. And well, that's my old broadcasting training, I guess. So This was hard.
I know how sustainable Mizar is, and I see her blood pressure rising just thinking about this subject.
And my cheeks getting red?
Yeah.
Are they? Because I get crazy. You know, with my company, part of our mission is to reduce the usage of those plastic bottles. And I get so incensed when I hear those commercials for those plastic bottles that are 30% less plastic.
Yeah, really? Because
you know why?
The cap is smaller.
Yes, but you know what's wrong with that?
What?
The chemicals leach faster because the plastic is thinner.
Right, it's crappy plastic.
Oh my gosh. You have no... I would scream at people. That makes me nuts.
Yeah.
The other thing that... when we do a lot of events, I look at people and I gauge how old they might be. And I say, remember The Graduate?
Yeah. Yes. Right? Oh yeah,
remember?
Plastics.
Yeah.
Say. I didn't want to steal
exactly
your
right.
There.
You
I'm
did
sorry.
Steal my thunder, but that's okay. That's okay. So Ben Braddock is at the his graduation party, played by Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah,
and all the ladies are, oh, he's just so adorable. Oh, he grew into such a nice. And he's just kind of there, overwhelmed, thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Yeah.
So it's oh my goodness, what was the guy's name? Mr. McGuire? Maybe it was McGuire. I just wrote it, and I now forgot. But anyway, he pulls him aside and Ben, one word. Are you listening? Yes, Mr. McGuire. Plastics.
Yep. And he was right, because back then that was the future.
It was 1967 when The Graduate came out, and we were just kind of... While 6,000 years ago, the indigenous folks of some parts of this world were making rubber balls with some kind of a natural polymer, the usage of plastic as we know it today really began...
After World War II, probably.
After World War II, we got the Bakelite that came in, and the melanin, and it's progressed to where we are today.
Yeah.
So, you know, was Mr. McGuire right? Yeah, he was at that time.
That was
early
in our,
so wrong.
Early in our love affair and our sort of euphoric...
throwaway,
you know,
society, yeah, exactly. Love affair.
The 70s, man.
Yeah.
Everything was like...
But you see...
Trash it. It's plastic.
Now, while I don't believe the devil should ever have an advocate, I will say this. Plastic protects our foods, the right kind of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have made great advances
in
medicine and hospitals.
Exactly.
Medical devices and hospitals have made great advances using plastic. Cars, I don't like the plastic bumpers because when you hit a deer, that's it. Kiss the car goodbye. I remember driving my first car. I had a big chrome bumper. A Buick Century.
That could take a deer down.
Well, yeah. There's a sound effect. And what was that word you didn't like?
Poofer? Oh, yeah. I don't like. No, the
that's
F word.
That's what that sounded like.
Well, yeah. No, because it was a V8 engine. Really not very green, but that's what I learned to drive.
Might
in a big
that
Buick
thing.
Century. Anyway. So I as I start to rant, I get off course. Where was I before I went into this?
We're talking about plastics actually have good benefits, but.
Oh, yes. But. All right. So, but. That pendulum has swung to one side.
Yeah. We're addicted.
And we are addicted. And I did mention that movie, and if anybody has not seen it, I really go find a movie that's called Addicted to Plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You will be amazed at how from the time you get out of bed to the time you put your head back on the pillow.
Oh, no, I did that plastic-free experiment.
You can't do
it's
it,
impossible.
Megan. You can't do it. And listen, even us green divas and
right.
green dudes are guilty of this.
Yes.
Because we can't help but be guilty.
But the beauty of trying that experiment in some way and really, really paying attention to all the plastic you use is that you become aware. You become aware of a lot of the useless plastic that you don't need.
Right. Listen, I don't buy plastic bags. I never do. What did I teach you? If you dry clean organically, you get that plastic bag, tie a knot in it, and you got a plastic garbage bag.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I never thought of that.
I mean, duh.
Yeah.
Duh. I don't buy body wash. I buy bars of soap.
Right.
You know, things that you can do. Right. You know, my daughter loves her stinky, perfumey body washes. I want to be clean. All right. So let's talk about what I could do to repurpose plastic bags because... you know, they're there. We might as well use them. So the first thing, what I did, I said, let me do something easy. I actually made beads by fusing plastic bags together,
huh,
cutting them into triangles, and then rolling them up on a toothpick.
No kidding. Did you use an iron or something?
I did. Yeah. On a low to medium setting.
Okay.
I have an old iron that I use for crafting.
Uh-huh.
And guess what color plastic bag I used?
Yellow.
No.
Green.
No. What? No.
Did you find a blue one?
I do have a blue one in there, and come on, Meg.
No, what? Purple?
Yes!
You found a purple bag to make beads?
Yes!
They're probably adorable beads.
They are.
I can't wait. Is this in the post?
Of course.
Okay, so everybody has to go to thegreendivas.com.
Exactly.
To look at the post.
That, I used a blue one, and then I thought, well, let me have this great idea. I took a piece of tissue paper, and I fused it between two pieces of clear plastic.
Oh.
It actually worked.
So you could color any color, multicolor.
I even fused bubble wrap.
Oh, my gosh.
That was so much fun. I'm putting the iron over there. I'm here. It was great. It was great.
Sound effects.
So then I did a little more research. There are so many things that are people are becoming creative. You can, if you know how to crochet, you can make a mat, a rug,
yes,
a basket.
Yes, because you can create like a yarn with it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like
and then there was one very clever idea. The reusable bags, while you don't want to tear them up, you know, but sometimes you get tired of them or they get a little ratty looking.
Yeah.
You can make aprons out of them.
Oh, what a
you
great
just,
idea.
And I just put a link in there for that.
Okay.
You know, but in the end, folks, it's just, we're stuck with it. Another thing I encourage folks to just put in their browser, the Great Pacific Ocean.
Pacific Gyre.
The Pacific Gyre.
Gyre,
yes. Gyre. Just put those words in your browser.
Or the garbage patch, as they call it.
That's what it is, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Exactly right, that's what it is. I just put this in the post.
Listen, let's rant about this. Let's close this up because I want to, you know, close this up so we can make a podcast out of it.
Okay.
How's this? If you're going to be using this stuff, reuse it or recycle it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's exactly what I say at the end of my post. I would like not to use it, but what are you going to do?
It's there, so it's there. Good.
It's there.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
All right. Yeah, see, we could rant about that for hours, I'm sure.
Yeah, can I just out somebody out right now?
Yes.
What are you drinking, Ed?
Oh, I was actually doing this while you were speaking for Rob and Gina's benefit over there. I have a Gatorade bottle here because I'm a big Gatorade fan, and it's tough to make those powdered Gatorades, so I do indulge.
No, it's not. It's just a habit. It takes 21 days to make a habit.
But you want to know the project we're working on with this?
Oh, man, it's in trouble. I can tell.
No, we're saving these, washing them out, and we have a tree stump in my yard.
Yes.
And we had when the tree fell down, we cut the stump at about head high, and we're going to use it as a planter. And to fill in about the 4 or 5 feet of dead space, because it was eaten out by carpenter ants, we're going to clean out these bottles, close them, put them in there, and use it as fill, so then we can put a layer of a couple feet of
dirt on
top. Well,
they won't biodegrade for 200 years.
But excuse me, they might leach chemicals into your groundwater.
Don't put food in there. Oh, well, there's that.
No, it's just flowers.
Listen, why can't you just go into the woods and get rocks to fill them?
That
cavity.
Mrs. Eco-Ed wanted me to use crushed stone.
Exactly.
So as opposed to using crushed stone.
And it's much better drainage.
It's better drainage, but crushed stone
has to be. She's not letting you off the hook, Ed.
I thought this through because a crushed stone has to be mined somewhere and it's got to be.
So go out. And when you're digging your lawn, what, you have no rocks in your yard?
I got rocks. Wait, can I tell you what I picked out of my garden yesterday morning?
Yes.
Just to sidetrack.
Yes.
I took a picture and I couldn't believe it. There was a brick. There mm-hmm. was some old, like, ceramic tile, like a thick ceramic tile.
What did you do with that?
It's all downstairs.
Oh,
there was rope, and I mean thick woven rope.
Yeah.
There was several different types of plastic. Very unpleasant.
Very unpleasant.
Now that we're talking about it. And there was glass, a couple of different pieces of glass. There was a couple of different types of metal brackets.
Pretty neat.
Wow. And then, of course, there was worms and rocks.
We love worms.
But you know made what? A little pile, and I took a picture of my art, you know,
good.
Garden art.
This area in Booton was...
I got to get back to outing.
I'm trying to change
Ed.
The subject here.
Yeah.
So this area in Booton was built up around the Revolutionary era.
Yes.
So.
You never know, right? I was looking for bodies.
Wait, who's our next guest? Can we?
No. So Ed, I'm not digging it. I'm sorry. This is just not. It's not acceptable.
It was pretty funny when me, Rob, and Gina were unacceptable. Laughing about this.
Yeah, unacceptable. It's unacceptable. It completely unacceptable. Okay. So maybe you're wearing plastic shoes, or we can't get away from it, but you can get away from that bottle.
I kid you not, all kidding aside, I have minimized it, and I have tried those powders. They make powdered, even Gatorade, but they make powdered iced teas and things like that.
Yes, they do.
I will hassle you another time about Gatorade.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. But if you get the powder, just get a big plastic jar that you're...
What type of jar?
To get rid of the plastic bottle, get a big glass jar.
Yeah.
And you're going to mix your Gatorade or whatever you want in there, and then you can put it in your reusable bottle. Ed, I'm not letting you off the hook, and neither is Megan. Well, and I don't want to see that going into the stump. I'm sorry.
I'm going after unacceptable. I'm going after him because I think Gatorade is just not a healthy product, to be honest with you. And, you know, Gatorade can yell at me about that. I'm not even going to get into all the different reasons, but there are healthy versions of that that give you health electrolytes and
how about
a healthier...
alkaline water?
Well, there you go.
Just because I'm in the water business. Mizar's
got all the answers.
I've got all the answers. I really do. You're going to end up hating me.
Well, she sells these water systems, so she knows all the objections, man.
I think she's beating me on the sustainability chart right now.
There's just no doubt.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I was saying I don't buy plastic bags, but I buy a lot of cereal because my son loves cereal.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about that.
And I empty them out, put the cereal, and you really want to do this.
I thought of you.
Put it in a glass container, something with a nice seal.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of shake out the bags, the wax bags, and I have my daughter goes, "Can't we just throw these out?" I said, "No, you may not."
Because I had one the other day, and I'm like, "Oh, I got to figure out how to use this because I know Misar uses these."
Listen, you have leftovers. You can just slide the whole glass bowl into the wrap and then fold it under and put it underneath. Put it in your fridge.
There you go.
Listen, don't get me started.
Rob, wait a minute. Rob just kind of rolled his eyes and gave a little wince. Like,
as he reaches for his plastic water bottle. I'm going to have to kill somebody before the day. Sorry.
So where the heck is Ed? Ed Brown, where are you?
Where is Ed Brown? We really.
But one of the thoughts I was thinking of before, and actually, you know, you bring up a good point. We're not here to, obviously we're here to change the world in a better way. And it doesn't take, you know, drastic measures. All it takes is everyone taking their existing lifestyle and making some tweaks.
Look who's talking.
Absolutely. And you know what? On a scale from 1 to 10, I consider myself, with 10 being, you know, a completely green person.
Being a Henry David Thoreau on Walden Pond. I get it.
I still only consider myself maybe a 6 or 7. And there's constant changes we can all make in awareness and knowing what your carbon footprint is. And what
we can do it one plastic bottle at a time, can't we, Ed? Rob.
And now that I'm done with this one, I can...
Don't reuse it. Not healthy. Do not do it.
What are we talking about? We talk about recycling it or reusing it.
Well, right. No, but you should...
But not for food purposes.
But the PET bottles should never be reused. I have a lot of glass bottles with my business. When I do events, I do have them there for sale. And I have gotten to the point where I also supply all the free, purified, alkaline, healthy water for these events so that people don't have to bring in plastic bottles. So I have gone as far as when somebody brings one of these single-use PET plastic bottles and starts to refill it at the cooler, I say, give me that bottle. And I will, of my own expense, give them a glass bottle. And I said, never want you to do that again. Ever.
You should have told me because I bought one of those from you at one of those shows.
I'll give you one now. If you promise me that you're not going to put those in the tree stump, I will give you one. One for Mrs. Eco Ed too, because don't get the crushed stone. You just go.
Listen to her. go.
I think I hit a nerve.
Don't do it. Yeah, you did. You really did. I'm sorry. This is my pet peeve.
Well, here's a creative little use for it. While we're waiting, we were doing a recycle program with a local school, and to show them with these bottles that they can. Repurposed. We had a project and had them come up with the most creative uses for these type of water bottles or Gatorade bottles.
Right.
And the kids actually came up with some really neat uses. They would come up with planters. They cut it here.
Yes.
Turned it upside down so it had decent drainage.
Yes.
They made ornaments for the Christmas trees with them.
Yes.
So they came up with pretty creative uses for...
Bird feeder.
Bird feeders, yep.
Yeah, the poison the birds, right, you know, who cares?
And in college, I remember what a few of our friends used these things for.
What did they use a few of these things for, Ed, in college?
I'm not sure, but it made some sort of bubbling sound. It was like...
Oh, again, my with gosh, the sound effects. Yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Oh,
I saw the Grateful... Grateful Dead, one of the Grateful Dead things on Facebook, and there was a picture of a... It says, bong. James Bong, and it was a little cartoon of a bong in a tuxedo.
You know what? I bet you someone's selling them already.
Oh, I know. Bong.
I'll bet James you someone Bong. Is selling them already.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. No, but there are a lot of different uses. One of the best uses for it, if you've got an old toilet, fill that plastic bottle with water so that you displace some of the 8 gallons of water.
I just recommended that last week to a customer.
Put it in the tank of your old toilet because it's 8 gallons of water. I mean, they have these what do they call it? The low flush toilets? Is that what it is?
Instead of going through the expense of buying a new toilet.
They're not expensive, though.
No, but this particular house was an older house with a lot of charm.
Oh, so they wanted
the looks of it.
I got it.
So the recommendation
at that
point was fill these up with water, drop a couple in there.
That's right.
And every time you flush, it saves that much water.
Yeah, and then if we're going to talk water conservation, which actually coming up with the summer heat and all that, Megan, we probably should do a show on that. I mean, I don't really like this, like what they say, if it's yellow.
Yeah, it's mellow.
Let it mellow, and if it's brown, flush it down. I just have a thing about standing pee water, but anyway, that being said, it's actually not a bad thing to do, which is to conserve water. But that's another subject. I'm trying to think of what else I have thought about as far as these plastic.
Well, should we talk?
Bottles.
Should we just mention? I don't know if Ed's able. Maybe something's curtailed. Or
let's go ahead and start talking about the movie because it's really interesting. They hit on a bunch of subjects.
It is a great movie.
And the film is called Unacceptable Levels by Ed Brown, and he really just features. It's I love that it's just really about him questioning. Just one day, he was drinking a glass of water at work, and he said, "Why? What's in here?"
Right,
because he said it smelled.
Because one of my thoughts, again, growing up before I really got involved as an activist was, you know, I live in Jersey, I breathe the air, I drink the water.
And you live in a state that has more toxic waste Superfund sites than any other
state.
It's
just fait accompli. If you live in Jersey, you're going to get cancer.
Not me.
It's kind of a dumb.
Not me.
Yeah.
Both my parents, my father passed away from it. My mom's been a survivor.
Mine too,
and it's so prevalent. We all, in Jersey, we all know many, many people who have, you know, either battled cancer or have lost.
Yeah. Agreed. But I think in the last 20 years, we know more people as well because environmentally, things have changed so much.
Absolutely.
Because of things like Superfund sites and because of unacceptable levels of toxins in water, in our food, in our environment.
That's where Ed does a really nice job of questioning it, really understanding, you know, how did this happen? Where did we get to this point?
Yeah, he goes back
how
to the beginning.
How did we let it get to this
He point? Goes back to like sort of the chemical boom, you know, and when we started using chemicals, and it goes back again to World War II.
Yeah.
And when he examines the same thing with pesticides and when they became popular, again, it was World War II, because so many of those things that were used for weaponry,
they
had all these scientists and all these facilities.
It was parlayed into the consumer market.
How do we make this commercialized?
And I'm going to take part and go off on my little rant here, because one of my little pet peeves lately is what Monsanto is doing.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Monsanto?
Really?
Who are they? They come up every show, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
These people have done such a fine job at focusing their dollars on supporting key government officials and putting their people in key government posts. So
isn't
they
the
basically
ex-president
make
of
the
Monsanto
laws.
Secretary of...
No, it's an ex-VP.
Ex-VP?
Yes.
EPA or
he
something?
He is...
No, it's
a secretary of what?
FDA, I believe.
FDA, yeah. That's right. Yes. I get them all confused.
Sorry. So basically, they are in the highest posts of government. So their employees and their former employees are put into these positions.
Yeah.
And they donate to... we're talking not just politicians. We're talking everyone up to the president. And now at the Supreme Court...
So they're regulating themselves, and they're creating the laws or blocking the laws that
they're
would
blocking the laws would that would create, right, would investigate, would research.
This
would
is transparency. This is food communism.
And I think in Hungary, just this past week in Hungary, they burned all the Monsanto crops.
Yeah.
All the GMO crops were burned because they just got fed up with Monsanto going around and bending the rules, twisting. They said, the heck with it.
Right.
And they burned all the
GMO
crops.
Well, and one thing that Ed brings out in the film, which is very similar, is about cosmetic industry.
Yes.
And all the chemicals in the cosmetic industry, you know, a handful of them, like 10, have been really studied and regulated. The rest, you know, the other 80,000 that are out there are not being regulated because guess who regulates?
Monsanto?
No.
The government?
No, but they regulate themselves.
Oh, yes. Right.
They regulate themselves.
Right. So they make their own rules. You were about to say something, and I'm hoping this is Ed on the phone.
You were about to say something.
They also donate to... isn't the World Wildlife Fund a front for Monsanto as well?
Somebody said a front, but they had donated a lot of money to that fund. They had basically put a lot of money. And money talks. And unfortunately, money also keeps people quiet because the people that are making a difference of protesting, all those things are done in people's spare times out of being concerned citizens, where everyone from Monsanto is paid employees. They're making billions. And they're funneling all the money behind this.
Okay, you know what we have to do, Megan?
What do we have to do?
This is the journalist in me, the go-get-em journalist in me. We need to get somebody from Monsanto on our show.
Well, that will be entertaining.
Entertaining and damn difficult.
Yeah,
because
I'm gonna
they're
going to
give
that
us
interview.
They're going to give us a PR person.
Oh yeah,
and who's just going to pussyfoot around it and has all the right. You know, he or she will have the 30-second soundbite all wrapped up.
Yep, that sounds great
for every question because my questions, your questions, Ed, your questions, Meg, will not be original questions. They've heard it all already.
Talks about how they're feeding the planet. And again, just like plastics, Monsanto does some wonderful things.
Actually, the interesting thing about Monsanto, if you go to their website, I think their tagline has something to do with sustainable. Sustainability is one of the words. And when you pull it up on the, I don't know if Gina can go get that. I can't do it yet.
Yeah, she will. She'll do it right now. But I bet you're right because they're just
well they
want
evil
their image to be
evil
and in this they had a march against Monsanto worldwide and there was a tremendous turnout. Millions of people worldwide showed up in different cities.
We did talk about that last week. You missed it.
I missed that.
And Monsanto is a sustainable agriculture company.
See,
sustainable agriculture.
That's a tagline. That's what I said. I couldn't believe that would be the tagline because when I think about sustainable agriculture, I'm thinking organic, biodynamic.
I'm thinking
about
my backyard.
Exactly.
Permaculture.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Things like
hydroponics, maybe even that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not Roundup.
So it's amazing how they can create these products, create a market for them. All these glyphosates, they create a market for with their seeds. So they're actually, it's a double whammy because they're selling the seeds and then they're forcing the farmers to actually, with those seeds, buy these chemicals.
Exactly.
And
right.
And these chemicals end up in us. They end up in the soils. They end up in the waters.
And that's the element that folks don't realize. You know, they're thinking, okay, genetically modified, but it's much, much more insidious.
Well,
and
I will say that Ed Brown does go into it. A little bit, because he talks about the food system and agriculture, and of course this GMO issue comes up.
You know what a great pesticide is?
What?
Burlap bags on your garden.
I was going to say ladybugs.
And ladybugs.
Yeah.
But to keep the weeds down, if you're talking weeds, just take burlap. Old
burlap
bags.
Cover, throw some compost or some mulch on top
of
them.
Oh, actually, I got some mulch to review some shells. Seashells.
Well, yeah, that's good because then the calcium also breaks down and goes
and
into
the
soil and the lime gets in and it creates a more stable environment because a lot of soil, especially if you get it, some topsoils, of course, they're all treated unless you buy organic. But if I go into the woods behind my house and get the topsoil, it's going to be very acidic. Even compost bins are very acidic.
Right.
If you put shells in there, and I like to break them up, it kind of gets the pH back to the correct level.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what foods you're putting in there and whether you're mixing your greens and your browns correctly.
Right.
How many banana peels?
Keep going on my rant here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And you
I
have
thought you were
exactly
done.
Exactly 1 minute and then we have to close up.
I thought you were done ranting.
Oh, no. Cause
oh,
million,
I've never
these
done
millions
ranting
of people,
either.
These millions of people that showed up to march against Monsanto.
Yeah.
And you want them to keep this up and keep the pressure on them. You don't want them to let go. But it's amazing to me because all these marches don't affect the governments and politicians. It's like the gun law where 80-some-odd percent of the constituents in each of every one of these states were against the law. But you know what? The NRA was paying the senators and the congressmen, right. So they voted against it.
Exactly,
so
right. We're going to have to get Dave Letterman you know to what? Do something against Monsanto.
But let me understand this. Like, so much of the legislation that's getting shot down is not about anti-JMOs. It's just about labeling. So we have a choice.
Yes, it's not even about banning them. It's so just about letting people
what
know.
What I want to know is if Monsanto and the companies that are all making these genetically engineered foods are so damn proud of them, why don't they allow the label to tout that?
They must think we're stupid.
Yeah. They don't want to do studies. They don't want to educate.
Because they know it's a nightmare. People are not going to be happy.
It's really easy to boycott something if it's labeled.
All right. Well, that's listen, true. We've had fun, and we've
ranted all afternoon.
Yeah.
We're having Patrick McDonald on next week.
Patrick McDonald from the Mutts. The Mutts Comics. And he is not only a comic strip writer, and he does the, Earl and Mooch, but he's also an environmentalist and an activist as well.
Yeah, great advocate for animals and the environment.
And the environment as well. And I just consider him a friend, even though I haven't seen him in a couple of years, and his wife is adorable. Although I don't know why Patrick McDonald would marry Karen O'Connell.
It's confusing, too.
Oh, my word. And I have MC'd events where I've messed
that
up.
Did she keep her name?
She did.
Speaking of MCs, yeah.
Yeah.
The Mix and the O's and, you know, I can say that because I'm a Mick.
That's right.
Anyway, listen, please stay tuned because the Uncle Buggy Music Show, which is a lot of fun, is on next. And if you stay tuned, you have to reset your browser to keep listening. But I would encourage you to stay listening because Homegrown Radio is awesome.
All right. Great seeing you guys. Green
okay.
Divas.
One second. I got to say this.
What?
TheGreenDivas.com, Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook. And what's the Twitter? I forget.
@GreenDivas.
Okay.
And Green Diva Mag. @GreenDivaMag.
Have a great week.
Have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.